This is the Lens of Beauty podcast with C2. I'm Lisa Roche.
And I'm Christine Toner. We are the founders of C2, Care Redefined. And this isn't a podcast about what lip gloss you're wearing, although we always love a good tip.
It's about the art of healing and how the lens of beauty can be transformative. How, although we felt broken and betrayed, we both found a way to thrive, even in the midst of it all.
We are so glad you are here. Hey.
No, right? Try not to move at all.
Got it. I basically have my hands on this basket, and it's like I'm pleading to the judge.
Please.
Just so you know.
Please. Please listen to me. Hear me. Don't let my voice fade away.
If I ever wanted to be a lawyer, this would be the stance, I guess.
On your podium.
Yeah, totally. Oh my goodness. Well, We're here for the third time. Yay.
We are.
Maybe it's a charm this time.
Third time's the charm to record your story.
We've lost it. We've muffled it. Now we're back.
It's all a learning curve.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all a learning curve. But what's awesome, Christine, is that you have the privilege of talking through your story for the third time now. Actually, it's more like the 3 millionth time, but the third time that we're actually recording this to be able to share with our listener.
Our one listener, yes.
So tell us where it all began. Podcast.
Whoa, that's like a loaded question. I guess you want me to start with sort of, I would say my 2.0.
That's perfect. Wherever you want to start is the perfect place to start.
I think that's probably when we think about C2 and what that means. And for me, it's my 2.0 of sort of redefining who I want to be in this world, actually. And it really started with a frying pan to the face, a 2x4 to the head, however you want to call it, a diagnosis of cancer that I received literally on my 25th wedding anniversary, an hour before I was headed to a dinner. I got the call from my doctor. And I can back up a little bit because, Lisa, you were there when I really started going on that journey about a month prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've been there from the very get-go, if you will. And I literally threw the phone. Like when the doctor said it was cancer, I literally let go of the phone and my husband had to pick it up and basically get the details and get us moving. It was during, of course, July 4th weekend and all that kind of stuff. And we just had
why not?
And we were...
Why not throw a holiday in there?
Yeah, it was during that time. It was during a time when we were in the middle of moving. So we weren't in our new home yet. We basically had everything in storage and didn't have doctors or any of that. So it was interesting. But as always, I found myself sort of surrounded by that night, actually, specifically that night, with like 40, 50 of my closest family members, friends surrounding us literally in this circle of love while I didn't know what was going to happen. And I remember that night, the only thing I remember literally that night of literally, I didn't sleep at all. And fortunately, this doctor, who was a friend of my friend's, was able to get us into a surgeon like the next day. So I didn't have to sit around and like wallow in it. It was almost like, okay, I got this news. I had to go to this beautiful party that we put together in celebration. and I was encircled in love. And then literally the next morning we were up and to this surgeon. So there wasn't a lot of time for there wasn't a lot of time, which I'm really grateful for. But I do remember that night just being on my knees, you know, just asking God to allow me to see my children, you know, allow me to be able to know my children as they grow, you know? And that's pretty much all I remember of that time. And people always ask me, oh, you know, what's your diagnosis? What's your, you know, prognosis, all that kind of stuff. And I can completely and faithfully tell you, I don't remember. It's almost 5 years now. It's like 4.5 or it's actually almost 5. And I just don't hold those details.
Isn't that incredible?
I'm grateful for that. You know,
that's a testament though to how far you've come, how much work you've done. That's a testament to you.
I never thought about it that way, but thank you for saying that. So really, like, to recount the journey, I find to be somewhat it's like PTSD. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't serve me to go back and say, oh, I did this and I did that. And then I did this and then I did that. I don't see the value in that. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to be defined by that. And I know that, and I'm not saying that that's, I'm talking about just for me, that mm-hmm. I personally chose and continue to choose not to wear all of that cancer garments on me anymore. And, you know, I literally packed up because we moved again since then. I literally packed up all of that cancer paperwork and all of the reports and all of the things. And I burned some of it sort of in a rite of like, I'm not this mm-hmm. anymore. But then I also just felt like I couldn't just dump it somewhere. I don't know. I just felt like I couldn't do that. So I just packed it up in a box and, you know, it's in an attic, in an attic that my current home. So it's just there and I don't choose to wear it. Like I said, to sort of lean on it. And, I think that's just my way of healing, like you said, and coming through it on the other side, sort of my, you know, my way of being reinvented, re-transformed, whatever you want to call it, 2.0, you know?
Well, it's so interesting because when people go through traumatic events, and that's any kind of traumatic event, you can allow it to define you. In a very victim perspective, this happened to me. Even the stronger definition of victim, which is triumph,
right?
I survived. Mm-hmm. I fought.
I survived,
right. And I fucking kicked its ass.
Right.
Two sides of the exact same coin called victimhood. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can 100%. Wallow or you can triumph. And then there's allowing something, an experience, a traumatic experience to be a redefining moment. Neither victim nor hero.
Right.
Just
right.
a redefining moment. Right. And I remember, I mean, clear as day. I remember you being in the studio with me telling me, you were in the middle of the move. You were, I mean, literally in a car driving through the state. And that's how you were in the studio with me.
Yeah.
100%. You made a pit stop to be in the studio with me. And you mm-hmm. said, you know, should I keep this appointment? Mm-hmm. Should I not? Should I find a different doctor? And I remember saying to you,
Oh my God, Lisa, that's so crazy. I remember this now. Oh my goodness. Right? We haven't talked about this. Oh my God.
In forever. But I don't think we've ever maybe talked about this before.
Oh my gosh.
But I remember having this very strong feeling of,
you need to go.
Yes, you need to go. Mm-hmm. Yes, you need to get this checked out. And what I didn't tell you then was, I had a very strong feeling it was cancer. I had a very strong feeling you would be fine.
Wow. You've never told me this.
I've never told you that. I don't think it's my place.
Of course.
You know, to tell someone.
No, of course not.
I'm not a doctor. You know what I mean? Nor am I a technician looking at x-rays and MRIs and scans. And I'm not that person. I'm a Reiki master. I'm an energy healer.
Yes.
So I feel the energy of, right?
Yeah.
So, and I vividly remember being in that moment. The whole studio went quiet. You were in this beautiful blue top.
That's
and I made this connection, and I thought, she's finding her voice through this. The blue really stood out to me, and I went, okay, that's throat chakra. I know that this is breast cancer. I know that she's going to be fine, but through this, she has to go through it in order to find her voice. So it was like in that very second, I was like, oh yeah, I'm part of her team. Got it. Check. I'm with her 1,000%.
Gosh.
1,000%. What does she mean? Mm-hmm.
This is why we had to redo this, because we've never talked about this.
I have chills.
Oh my God. Yeah. My whole body is completely just buzzing.
Yeah. Gosh. And when you left, you left to like hop in your car and drive off.
Yes.
She's going to be fine. This was not an obstacle. It wasn't a rerouting, you know, and I've worked with plenty of people where you're like, okay, this is going to be an absolute obstacle, not a challenge, an obstacle. Right. But I was like, ooh, this is a must do. For Christine, this is like, she's going to become a brand new human being out of all of this. And look at what you've done.
Wow.
Oh my God, 2.0.
Yeah.
And we've had conversations about C2 being, it started off as cancer redefined, care redefined. It's Christine redefined, right? It's all three things all at once.
All at once. Yeah. Sounds like a movie.
So can you share a little bit about what it was like, right? So you're establishing C2 as a means to augment treatment. This is not like an either or, which
no, not at all. And it's really because I felt when I was going through cancer, I had amazing doctors at Emory. I love them. I still go to see them every 6 months. They are true healers, but I always felt like I wanted more than what I was seeing. And during that time, it was on the cusp of it was 2019, right before sort of the world shut down, right? So I had a little bit of a taste of being able to go out, you know, before the world shut down, and sort of find maybe other type of modalities that would help with my healing. And then what I should probably backtrack a little bit, like 16 years prior to that, because this is really the fundamental piece, I think, in my brain that knew that I could have more. When I was pregnant with my second daughter, I was my husband is a football coach. So I was due in the month of October. And if anyone knows football, that's pretty much in the thick of football season. So
listener, I don't know football at all, but I'm learning about
it. You've learned it.
And football's nuts.
Yeah, it's totally crazy. And I had already had a little, I think she was like 5 and a half at the time. So I knew what I was up against with, you know, a childbirth. And I was petrified, quite frankly. I was petrified mm-hmm. that I was going to be alone, not because he's a cad and he's not going to show up. It's because of his job being
right. It's football.
Yeah. And it's 24/7. So this fear, I'm sure I ruminated about it. And I'm sure my brain then, having ruminated about it for so long, I was presented with two different women when I was like maybe 3 or 4 months pregnant who told me about their hypnobirthing experience. And they were unrelated. And so when something like that happens, I just sort of knew I needed to go find more out about this hypnobirthing experience. And luckily,
you're so good at identifying the golden nugget and picking it up and putting it in your basket. And then you keep going and you're like, oh, another one, ooh, another one.
Well, you know, looking back now, it was like totally divine that
this
information came to me. And I was lucky to find it in my backyard at Yale University Hospital.
Because that's how it happens.
It's totally how it happens. Right. And I made it, I kept moving forward with it because, again, my husband's not available. I convinced the professor to come to my house and teach the class to me in person with him there.
Of course
there
you did.
on Thursday nights, because that's the night that I knew he would be available. And it was so great. And she did that. She was lovely. Oh my gosh. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And this is something crazy. So anyway, long story longer, right? Of course, I went into labor on game day.
Of course you did.
Right. Because I totally manifested that. So.
Careful what you focus on.
I know. And I'm learning about that for sure. But I went into labor on game day and he drove like crazy, missed his game. It was a 3 o'clock kickoff. So he was actually at the hospital before I got there. And I was like 20 minutes away.
That tracks.
Like 2.5 hours.
That really, that makes sense. For anybody that knows your husband, that makes sense.
So he's there waiting, the poor guy, flipping out, and they're telling him as they change over, because it's like 4 o'clock and they're changing over, and they look at my name and they're like, huh, I'm not even sure if she's going to make it here. Because, you know, we had to go by ambulance the whole 9 yards or whatever. So I'm in the ambulance, and I do remember this. I was to the man, there were two guys, and I was like, could you please not put on any sirens, you know, because I was in this sort of just this calm.
It makes it really hard for me to meditate with giant sirens blaring.
and so the guy, I remember the guy being like, just keep doing your breathing, which I was like, okay. And then the man driving had sent back and said, well, just put them on once we get off the highway, because we'll need to do that in New Haven to get through traffic. And I was like, okay. So anyway, I winded up having this baby in the most amazing, easiest way possible. And I go back to the first time being in labor, and I, same body, right? Same doctor, same hospital, same no drug situation. Both were natural childbirths.
God bless.
And they
you.
Were completely different, like night and day. And so looking back, it's like, what changed? And the thing that changed was my mindset. I was able to make a connection between my body and my mind, allowing my body to do exactly what it's meant to do, which in this case was to give birth to a baby. But I believe with all of my heart that a body is meant to heal. Mm-hmm. And so that foundational proof that I had, you know, like there's no greater pain than childbirth. And if you have these two diametrically different experiences, it was like all I needed to know that I should seek more, you know? there has to be more than just what I was seeing out there. And so that's basically what I, but I didn't do it. I don't know if I was as, like, I say this now with hindsight, but I just think it was just a feeling I had inside of me. It wasn't anything that I was like, oh, this is what I'm doing. You know, it was just, I knew there could be more from that experience. And I just kept searching.
I think that's a really important thing to say, that in the moment, 9 times out of 10, most often it's not deliberate. It's not conscious. No. You are really good at feeling the feeling, allowing yourself to identify the feeling. And then you're like, come hell or high water, I just know that this is what I have to do. And you go and you do it. And I think a lot of times we feel things and we go, I don't know, that's kind of crazy. That's a little bit bonkers. But you're like, it may sound a little crazy, but I'm going to do it anyway. I admire that. I really do. I admire that. It's inspirational.
Oh, thank you. I don't think it's deliberate. It's just sort of, I don't know, believing maybe that.
Mm-hmm. You're compelled by faith, like always, all the time, compelled by faith, which is super, like I say, it's super inspiring. You Christinify everything. Listener, I have turned her name into an adjective, an adverb, and a verb. You really do. You Christinify everything. So you will always take an object, an experience, an environment, and you will add your special sauce and kick it up a notch. You know, a lot of times in spirituality, we call that raising the vibration of it. In science, we change the frequency of it. In a normal everyday life, you make it beautiful. You just take things and you make them beautiful. That's people included. Like, do you know how honored I am to be in your menagerie of people? It's amazing. Right back, it's absolutely amazing.
Right back at you, sister. It is an honor to have you as well. My goodness.
And so, you know, what awesome things did you discover in your healing journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, it's after reflection, after a lot of reflection, like I'm talking 4 years later, I started to realize some things that just sort of came through very clear as to what I did and what I continue to do. Because let's face it, healing is not a one and done situation. This is an ever going process. And one I'm grateful for to be given the opportunity to continue on, right? It's a complete blessing. So, you know, as I reflected on sort of my journey, what came through were sort of six pillars, six principles. I don't even know what you want to call them, but we do kind of say principles, I guess.
The guiding principles
that I kind of followed to thrive through this, as opposed to staying, as you said earlier, in that more victim or survivor
mentality. Yes.
Yeah. I didn't resonate with that to begin with. So I think that was part of it, right? I didn't resonate.
Well, you Christinified your own journey. You were like, yeah, so if I shoot for something even better, if I shoot for becoming a better person, a different person, then and thrive through this, I will have already ticked the box of survive. Can't thrive without having already survived. You see what I mean?
Right.
If you take what is a very normal and valid experience, and you always kick it up a notch. You really do, always.
And I don't know why I do that, but I just see things in a way that I think where they can be better, you know.
It's your superpower.
And I think that's kind of where the idea of the lens of beauty, as we've called this podcast,
yes,
like that's what it's about, right? It's kind of like elevating things so that you can see yourself, like at the end of the day, you see yourself more as this transformative piece of art, right? And not some sort of low level victim of a circumstance or of a cause and effect. You know, it's like, no, I mean, we can all shoot for the star here. And why shouldn't we?
And that's not to say you didn't have low moments.
Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because God. Wherever you are in your journey, you are valid.
Right.
You have every right to be there in that place.
100%.
I know that you and I can both say we carry with us this feeling of responsibility to show someone they're more.
Yes.
Always.
And you almost, it's kind of that idea too, that you have to go through all of that anger and that fear and all of that lower level ways of feeling, but you don't have to stay there.
Right.
You don't have to stare at it. And you also, you don't have to hold it. You don't have to hold the resentment. And quite frankly, I held a lot of resentment, which I think is what put me into a cancer environment to begin with.
That's a whole other conversation, right?
Yes.
The energy of,
yes.
The vibration of ailment.
Yes.
The vibration of cancer.
Mm-hmm. Like we always say, dis-ease or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted, when I was going through it, I wanted to find ways that I could elevate just the regular medical situations I found myself in that were really depletive. You know, they were so depleting.
Right.
And I know that they, you know, hospitals are not really designed to be this beautiful spa-like,
right.
You know. I know they're doing a lot, even within the last 5 years, but it's still not, you know, there. So,
well, the whole point of a hospital setting is to save a life.
Exactly.
That's very different from transforming a life.
Exactly.
Right? Two totally different things.
And so anyway, just going through those things that I did, I kind of earmarked these six principles. And the first two are sort of foundational. The remaining four kind of can happen in any way, shape, or form. But because I'm a little bit of a, I don't know, you want to call me? You know,
I
like to do things in order.
Then I have to call myself it the same thing.
Yeah.
Just a smidge, a hint, a taste of OCD. Oh,
cool. Yeah. 100%. 100%. So, yeah. But really, there's really no order, except that I do believe the first two are foundational, and those are stillness and surrender. Mm. And by stillness, I mean, I was fortunate. And I know I'm saying this with all grace and respect, because COVID and the whole 2020 was not a respite for most people.
No.
But for me, it allowed me to stop, to literally, I got permission to not do anything. And I don't know about you. Well, I know you know this, but as women, I think we are conditioned to just give and go. And, you know, feeding ourselves first is like the last thing we do. So,
well, it's almost considered taboo.
Yeah. It's negative. Like selfish, right?
Exactly. You're not a good mother. You're not a good woman.
Right. And so, this kind of stillness, this forced stillness was, I think, fundamental to me being able to just quiet my mind, quiet my body, you know, to allow for more to come through, you know, and to do that through the practices of sound healing, through meditation, guided meditation. And we'll delve into all of this, because Lisa is really just an incredible creator of all of these modalities. Even movement, right? There's certain movement you can do to create stillness in your body. So those were really foundational for me to allow really the beginning of my body to sort of start to come down from a trauma situation, really.
Absolutely. And,
you know, we've talked about this where, and you tell that great story. I can't remember if we've said it on another podcast, but I'll repeat it. Like when you're drowning in like the fear of a diagnosis or any trauma, right? You're constantly flailing and moving to try to make it back up from the water. And you tell that story when, as a lifeguard, you literally had to push that person back down into the water so that they could just be still in order to bring them to safety, to shore.
Right.
And I mean, that analogy and that reality is so true, you know, to just...
Well, I think when we're shocked, our very first instinct, right? And that's like the psychology behind trauma. You're either going to freeze, fight, fear. There are all of these, try to run, try to escape. Like there's the psychology behind it. And if you go with that knee-jerk response, then you're not connected wholly to your body. You're not making the best decisions because all you're doing is reacting. There's no proactive movement forward.
Right.
Right. So if you, all you're doing is flailing and reaching and you don't know what you're reaching for, it's futile. Yeah. All you do is exhaust yourself.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that analogy is so perfect because really that stillness just allowed me to start to be able to listen. You know, listen to my voice, listen to just my intuition, you know, listen to what God was even saying to me. And it's foundational. And at the same time, I had to also, you know, surrender to the idea that I could control this, you know, that I could, there was something that I could do to change this. And there was nothing, right? I had to just surrender into it and say, okay, this is not of my plan, but I have to just let this go. And as a type A firstborn, that's a really hard thing to do. Like to let someone else take the wheel.
Oh yeah.
You know, to not stay up every night till 2 a.m. Googling stuff.
Right.
To not try to make a plan for every last second detail. And you know, that's what this did. It just hit me over the head and said, you're done.
Well, and surrendering into that stillness is really 100%. Important. You know, that's why I love that you created those as the foundation of the I Am My Strongest Self program. Those, they're the yin and the yang. They're the infinity. They're forever connected, right? Because when you can establish a little bit of stillness, like you said, you have that quiet where you can start to listen to higher guidance, which comes through as your intuition. And then, you know, as a human being who's been programmed to doubt that inner voice, to Google things and to ask, what do you think? What do you think? There's a time and a place for all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Right. Frickin-lutely. But nobody's going to know you better than you. Mm-hmm. So if you can surrender into trusting.
Yes, trust.
Trusting that there is higher guidance that is smarter than you, that is everywhere all the time, all knowing, and wants to share all of that knowledge with you through you.
Right.
It takes a tremendous amount of faith. That's what I mean. Like you maneuver and function in the world in a state of faith. You really do. Believe me, there are times where we all question it and whatnot, but I'd say 95% of the time you're in a constant state of faith, and that quiet, you always return back to that place of quiet. And then you're able to regroup by surrendering.
And not giving, you know, I always felt that every time that you had to tell the story of what happened, or every time that you had to explain what you're doing to someone, you know, they only were asking out of love or whatever, but I just let my husband deal with it.
Another level of surrender. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was winding up telling people what was going on, and he took the wheel on that front too. So it was, there were so many levels to this letting go, you know, and it's not my nature. So I was clearly, and thank you for saying that. I never really thought about the whole faith thing, but you're right. It definitely, it was on faith, that I saw.
Oh, for sure. I mean, even if people aren't religious, right? Oh, even those who are not religious, even if you're an atheist, for that matter, agnostic, atheist, if you recognize that good comes from anywhere in your life, love comes from anywhere, God moves through, right? Then you start to recognize that you're not alone.
Yes.
Number two, you can trust in yourself and in others. And then number three, you can hand it over.
Hand it over.
When you're tired, hand it over.
Yep.
And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. And it's a practice, right? I don't always get this right. Are you kidding? I probably fail as many times as it works, right? It's a constant daily practice. So like I said to you in the beginning, like this whole journey isn't just I'm done, I'm checked off here. Like, whatever life is.
Wouldn't that be so nice?
Yeah. Whatever life is going to show up, you know, the next, who knows?
We met our destinations. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's like, you've got everything you need.
Yes.
And so let life just unfold, right? And let it be what it's going to be. And I don't, there's no reason to fear it, really.
No. And that brings us to the other four principles.
Yes.
Which are really these practices to allow for the first two to happen and unfold with a little bit more ease.
Yes.
And so, what are those?
And so, you know, the next thing I did, and again, I'll go in order, is nourishment. And that's like, there's a physicality to that, right? Of actually learning what you are feeding your body. And so I kind of reimagined and redefined what that looked like for me with the help.
And it's different for each person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I did that through a multitude of different people that I found along the way. So I did a little bit of like checks and balances too. So I just didn't take like one path. I made sure that the path I was on was like checked with another path.
Mm-hmm.
And the food piece I find is there's a lot out there, right? So you just have to, I at the time just went with the people that I felt I could trust, you know. I went on faith.
Sure.
And also, like I said, I did double check too with my own medical team as well. And they actually happened to have a nutritionist that, you know, basically agreed with everything I was doing. So it made really good sense for me. But I think there's so much out there now that you can find. But again, I like to sort of elevate it to like a higher level. So, you know, with C2, we will bring sort of those more vetted, curated ideas, you know, and to do it within this lens of beauty so that you don't feel like you're taking away from your life. You're actually adding to your life, right? There's like a different way of looking at things. Like, you can, like, I loved cheese. And I still to this day love it. It's it's everything, but I needed to stop eating what I was eating. And so taking that away, was really hard, you know, taking.
Feels like a punishment.
Yeah. It was a punishment. Right.
Yeah.
But I winded up doing other things that felt, I winded up finding this incredible vegan chef who made the most amazing meals for me. And we would meet, this is during COVID, we would meet like in a parking lot and exchange, you know.
That's your dealer.
Yeah, my dealer. But it was like, it was such a, I don't like to cook. Okay. So that's, I needed to find a way to like feed myself this new way of eating. Mm-hmm. And so I found this incredible, loving friend now who helped me. And I winded up also finding this incredible local source of raw juices that were beautifully packaged on top of it. So it was like this present that I gave myself during a time where I felt, I have to tell you, like it was ugly, gross, all of the things, you know, that when you think about cancer and what they do, but I just chose like, look, I'm going to celebrate somehow myself, because again, that's what I learned during hypnobirthing. I learned that was one of the things to shift was your mind about going into a hospital and things like that. So the nourishment part is physically food, but then also being very cautious of what I was consuming in other parts of my life.
Yes.
Right? What I'm watching, what I'm listening to, what I'm,
yes.
I'm reading. So I made a conscious choice to really edit down what I was doing on all those fronts. And so I made a real conscious effort. I put out to friends and family, I really only want to hear about, send me funny things. I don't want to hear anything about, you know, how like your family sends like these texts and things, and you know, they may be political, they may not be political. And I was just like, no more, you know, just send me, I just want funny memes, you know, just.
Right. And back then everybody was talking about, oh, the COVID numbers, happening.
I shut it off.
Desperation, all of that.
Yeah. I just shut it off and call it ignorance. I don't know, but I just decided I wasn't going to be part of that statistic
Me too.
I just shut it off. So anyway, that's.
I don't think you and I ever had one conversation about like the whole COVID.
No.
While we were going through it. I don't think you and I ever, now that I think about it, I don't think we ever had a conversation about it.
Yeah, I just, and it wasn't.
We talked about bamboo juice. I remember that.
Juice. Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I just was really careful about what I was putting in. Nourishing my body and my mind, you know,
body, and mind, soul. Yes.
My soul, you know, at the end of the day. And then from there, you know, I did what I call radical self-care. And, you know, we all talk about self-care. It's everywhere, you know, all the things that you can do for, your body and your mind. But I think radical is where you go way out of your comfort zone and do something that you're not comfortable in. And for me, you know, I did do a lot of work, you know, in terms of, I worked with a life coach, which wasn't really radical, right? Because I was already set up in doing that, but I think they held me accountable. But then also there were a lot of therapists that I worked with that were suggested through the cancer program I was in, but also I did some cranial sacral work as well. And I continue to do that actually through a practitioner that an expert that Lisa recommended. And you know, that's stuff that like really pushes you in another direction, I guess is
absolutely a good way to say it. Absolutely.
And, you know, if I can be totally frank, this is way out of my comfort zone. Like I've never planned to do anything of this sort of telling my story, of putting myself out there. So for me, this continues to be my radical self-care. So it's very interesting.
It's awesome, listener, because at the very beginning of all of the C2 business side of it, Christine always said, I don't want to be the face of this. This is not me preaching from a pulpit. And we all around you were like, I know, but it is your essence and it is your creation. And you are continuously challenged, and you challenge yourself to new heights, new levels of honesty and connection. Oh, wasn't that the perfect segue?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that brings us to connection.
Didn't even mean to do that. I am that clever.
And that really can mean a few things depending on where you're at. You know, connection to your community, connection to your higher self, connection to a higher being, spirituality wise, all of those things. And I sort of do a mix of all of it. And primarily, what I created was a call that I wished I had, during the time that I was going through my diagnosis. And it's based on a call that a friend of mine had done, which is amazing. And she was so kind to sort of say to me, no, you need to do this. And sort of gave me a blueprint to follow. And so for the last 8 months, Lisa and I have been doing a community call for women. Initially, it started really for women navigating a cancer diagnosis. But what we found was that really in any part of our life as women, we are faced with challenges and we need to find ways through them. And so this call is really for any woman who is looking for a place to just find some stillness, to maybe find your voice, to maybe be seen and heard without ever even saying a word. And we talk about this, and I think that podcast is out there already. So I think we talk a little bit about that community call, but the gist of it really came from really my journey. And what helped me move the needle was this call that I was participating on with a friend of mine. And when I say participate, I was just listening in bed or in the hospital room or wherever I was. I wasn't doing anything, but yet it moved the needle for me in such beautiful ways that I just felt that I needed to do it in the same vein, but with a different audience. And so that's how the C2 call was born.
It's so inspirational to even be able to just dial in and sit silently, just receive. I mean, on so many levels. One, it's like this amazing gift.
Right.
Two, it's this unseen connection where you're like, oh my God, I'm not alone.
You're not alone. 100%.
I'm not alone. And if anything, these other women on the call, they get it. I am not like alone thinking I'm the weirdo in the world needing something different.
Right.
There are other people out there. Now you're normalized in what you're thinking and seeing and experiencing.
Right. You hear your voice in someone else's voice.
Exactly.
And also what's so beautiful about it is you really don't have to do anything except receive. And I think as women, that's one of the issues that we have. It's sometimes difficult to receive because we're always giving. And again, you know,
and there's guilt. Oh my God.
Oh my God. And the guilt.
The guilt and self-shame of actually receiving something.
And that's something we have to learn in order to heal, is you need to be able to give and receive. It's a full on expression.
Absolutely. And so, you can't give unless you receive.
100%. And I think for me, I know that was lacking in my life. And so that's something that this community, this connection, I think it's osmosis almost, you know? And so that's really a really important piece of it all. And then you know, we're just delving into now, but during my journey, I did a lot, a few different book studies too, which were really amazing and really eye-opening and really, you know, pushed me forward in my healing as well. And we'll be sharing those down the line.
And like crazy things that you wouldn't think are necessarily entangled with
right
cancer, a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And listener, I air quote with my fingers a lot. I'm air quoting right now with cancer. But things like your relationship with finances, who mm-hmm. knew, right? Yep. Your relationship with your family, who knew? Finding your voice, who knew that any of this 100%. Creates the fodder in which cancer can activate.
Can activate, exactly.
Any ailment can activate. It's just a matter of what becomes active because right. of the different energies that you're feeding it. It's the nourishment. What are you feeding, right? Are you feeding ailment or are you feeding thriving? Mm-hmm. Are you feeding transformation or are you feeding your own deterioration?
Victimization. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, yeah, this call is amazing. We encourage you guys to join us on Tuesdays or Wednesdays.
For sure. What do you say? I come for the shares. I stay for the meditation.
Yes. There's a beautiful guided meditation that Lisa channels and actually infuses with Reiki, which is another one of those incredible modalities.
Radical. It
can be radical, but it's so simple. And
it's so not radical.
And if I can back up with that, it's radical in thinking, but what's so amazing is it's science-based. And I think that was one of the struggles I had during my journey was that there was nothing, everything was either one or the other, you know, from a medical point of view, and there was nothing in the middle. And if you didn't,
right, it's either like only medicine or witchcraft, like that was your choice.
Yeah. And then if it's in the middle somewhere, it's really sort of mediocre.
Yes. And
it just felt like the whole thing could be elevated to a way where you could see yourself there and be like, I want to be a part of that. I don't really resonate with, you know, just all medical and no holistic. But then
which was the perfect setup for me to land here because there I was in a thriving business where I did marry those two worlds.
You did 100%.
And I was like, I am so not woo-woo. Mm-hmm. I don't subscribe to anything. I want to know what's the science behind it.
And you were always so science driven, even when you and I met, which was, I don't know how many years ago, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Seven.
I want to say seven, eight, something maybe. Like that.
And you know, it was for a different ailment that I had at the time. And, mm-hmm. you know, everything you did was all science-based and, you know, you had, Reiki in your studio, but you weren't, necessarily, you know, it was an offering that you had. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It just didn't feel like I was walking into some spiritual, you know,
right. I know exactly what you mean. That was purposeful.
Yeah. It was very, you know? It was a studio. It was a beautiful studio. And everything that you did was like, oh, this is the reason why. You had a reason why.
Absolutely. Like from the second you walked in, mm-hmm. I wanted every client to immediately start healing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm all about. Mm-hmm. So everything from colors, the color therapy, the setup of the furniture, the feng shui, the energy. The
feng shui, I was just going to say, which is awesome.
Yeah.
When we talk about feng shui, because that kind of leads us to the last principle, which is really a culmination of everything I believe in my mind called intentional beauty, meaning you have all of this then in your life that helps you then transform intentionally to some thing of just absolutely purposeful and beautiful. And I always
it's a celebration of self.
Celebration.
Like your whole life is now a dedicated celebration of you.
Of you.
Like, does it get any more beautiful than that?
No. And it's like you as, you know, intended, you know, not life, you know, just happening to you. It's like life as you, you know, in this
your highest expression.
Highest expression, beautiful
not,
piece of
these color. Are the cards I was dealt.
Yes.
Yeah. That's victim mentality. And instead saying, oh, and but look at what I created. Look at the beauty that is around me.
Yeah.
The beauty that is my life. Yeah.
That is, yeah, me. And then, you know, I also love to look at it just from an experiential point of view too, where you're immersed in an environment that is beautiful. And, you know, that's where you and I have worked on the whole, your practice of feng shui and your mastery of feng shui and being able to bring those principles, you know, into actual like 3D, you know what I mean? Like this is like
the environment. That's the important part. Yeah, yeah. Taking the concept and making it very tangible and real.
Yep.
Tactile. It's a tactile experience.
Yeah.
We're humans. We have to experience with tactile experiences. That's how we learn. That's how we change. That's how we make serious impact. Here I go off, you know, on my bully pulpit, but it is, it's how we make neurological changes on a cellular level. So you think differently, look, perceive differently, seek differently, share differently. Everything changes. It's amazing.
And it's like, it makes complete sense because, okay, you do all this work, right? Foundationally, you create this stillness and splendor. Then you start nourishing your mind and your body with good things. You have practices that continually remind you that you get connected with your world and your higher self. And then if you're surrounded still with like a mess of an environment,
right?
There's a mess.
All the shit that you've done comes crashing down.
Yeah. So it's like, it's truly a holistic way of really showing up in the world. And I am just, filled with so much grace and love for you being a part of this journey with me and to continue to keep moving and elevating and learning, because let's face it, I do not get this right. And I need reminders constantly. So this is like a daily practice. This is
me
not like a
too.
One and done. And this whole thing that we've put together is just a little selfishly helping me to continue moving, you know.
Swear to God. I mean, that's why I had my studio.
Right.
It started off as a personal practice. And then I was like, ooh, this is awesome. Need to share it with others.
Yeah. And that's just like you and I too. We just don't keep things quiet. You know?
We don't.
Like we're always like, ooh, I just heard about this, or ooh, I just heard about that, you know. And so ultimately C2 Concierge Care, all of that is really our little black book of what we have found to be science-based, holistic practices and experts and ways of living. It's a lifestyle. And so eventually we'll get there to be able to show the world just the fullest expression of that. But for right now, we're just so happy to be here. And thank you so much for listening. Thanks
for sharing your story, Christine.
Of course.
I hope now everybody has a taste of your transformation, because I think that's so important. That's the entire story of C2. This is your transformational story that gets to be shared with other people so they can experience their own. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Hopefully the third time.
Listener. Third time's the charm. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being with us.
Take care. For more connection, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We invite you to join our weekly call on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings, and you can find more information at our website, c2careredefined.com.
Have a wonderful day and week. We are here for you always and always.